Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life. This is part two of our interview with Robin Chambers.
Welcome to Life Matters. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest, Robin Chambers, Vice President of Advocacy for Children at Focus on the Family. Robin leads their work in life advocacy, including the Option Ultrasound and Wait No More programs. And she's also helping guide Focus into a bold new chapter in the post-Roe era. Robin, welcome.
Oh, Tony, thanks so much for having me on.
So, Robin, do you have any specific stories of impacts that you've heard from some of your Option Ultrasound centers?
We have some stories that one of these days I feel like I'm going to put them in a book.
Yeah.
I think one of the best stories was I was at a pregnancy center in St. Louis when they were supposed to be closed that day for training. And there was a young couple who showed up and they were desperate. She was very, very, very sick with morning sickness and said, I can't do this. I'm working full time. I'm going to school part time. I can't be sick like this. I think I have to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And she was sick 24 hours a day, just horribly sick. And she and the boyfriend came in and he fell asleep on the sofa while they were waiting. And I remember being so offended. I'm like, you're supposed to be here for her. And I was helping her with her intake form because there was no staff there. They were back. The nurses were training. And the executive director asked if I would sit there and help her with her intake. And I did. And they called her back. And he's sound asleep. And she looked at me and she said, and this always makes me cry, she said, will you come with me? I can't do this by myself.
Mm.
And so I did. I had the absolute privilege of going in that room and being with her while the scan is being done. And we show this, and the screen is up there and beautiful, beautiful picture of this little one. And she bursts into tears and she said, I can't do this. And she said, he should be with me. He's out there sound asleep. So, of course, my mama heart was like, I'm ready to
wake him up.
Fight for her. Yeah. And the nurse very gently said, would it be okay if we have him come back? Would you like for him to see the scan? And she kind of took this big breath and she said, yes, yes. So they go get him and he walks in and I find out from him as he's walking, he goes, I am so sorry. He goes, I just pulled an all night shift. And he said, I'm so sorry. I fell asleep. So he'd been working. So my judgment, so I had to ask for forgiveness, was that he wasn't involved in this. And he looks up and he sees the screen and he looks at her and he bursts into tears and he said, that's our baby.
Wow. Wow.
And that changed their minds, that ultrasound and that young man seeing that. And here I'm judging, thinking he didn't want to be involved. Well, he's working and he was worked all night long and still wanted to come and be a part of that visit. And they chose life and came back to the center several months later with this beautiful baby. And they were doing so well. But that ultrasound immediately connected that daddy with that baby. And then she knew he's on it.
Absolutely. The power of the ultrasound, I think sometimes people don't realize how important or how valuable that ultrasound is. And it really is. We call that our miracle room. It really is. Miracles happen in the ultrasound room.
Yes.
Wow. Definitely does. Robin, so Focus on the Family is known for working collaboratively. Who are some of the key partners for life and how do you work with them?
When we very first started, I just remember, it's funny you asked that question. I asked the same thing because coming into this world was new to me. What I'm familiar with are contracts and copyright and, all the trademark, side of things, and really didn't know much about the pregnancy center world. And so when I started asking those questions of where can I go to learn, more about this? And the consultant we were working with at the time said, the three national affiliates, CareNet, Heartbeat, and NIFLA, and all three kind of have a different, niche, in this world. And, NIFLA is very involved in kind of the legal side of things and medical regulations as it pertains to pregnancy centers. And then CareNet was very evangelistic, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then Heartbeat was, super involved in really caring for new center directors and new centers and starting new centers. And so I started going to all those conferences, and I went to every session I possibly could. And I, you know, just sat and I learned and listened. And all three are still very valuable to what your work is.
Yeah.
And so I think those three have been, you know, so key in Option Ultrasound. And each of them we partner with for grants. And so that's one of the things that was really near dear to my heart was where can I partner and where can I connect with people who are doing things really well and not have to recreate something. And so there's a partnership with all three of those organizations as it pertains to an Option Ultrasound grant. And so they have been just great, great partners. And then Embrace Grace, you know, they're one of the organizations that are kind of new into the pro-life scene. But what they're doing is really teaching churches how to wrap around that young woman, how to support her. And so we've been able to do, we've underwritten some of their, what they call their packing parties, when they do the little love boxes. And so, and having those at pregnancy centers and having those at churches, it's a great way for us to connect with churches. And that, to me, is a really easy way to, for an on-ramp, basically, for that young woman to get into a church. Because we've always said, pregnancy centers are not her church. Tony, you're not her pastor.
Right.
That church is where she has that long-term discipleship and support. And so I feel like Embrace Grace is that bridge organization between the pregnancy center and the church. And it's a really, really easy way for a church to step into this and be that safe place that we talked about earlier. And then just, you know, I would say we always go to the March for Life because we want to be aware of what's going on in the national scene. Students for Life, we love when we see students getting involved in, you know, their college campuses. And sometimes it's that peer-to-peer, you know, young woman to young woman talking about, yes, I had an unexpected pregnancy, but I chose life and here's how. And so that peer-to-peer sometimes has a greater impact than someone my age trying to talk to her, you know, kind of thing. And so I think those are some of the key partners that we have right now.
Focus recently launched the It's a Baby campaign. What's the goal behind this message and what kind of response have you received?
The goal was to interrupt people's thoughts. You know, one of the things that I had said, you know, I feel like Planned Parenthood, one of their nefarious plans was to dehumanize the baby. And so what do? You don't call it a baby. You call it a fetus or it's an embryo. And so then you take away the humanity of that baby and it somehow makes it more, you know, when you're thinking about a woman in a unexpected pregnancy and in the crisis mode that she's in, she is not thinking clearly because she's in that fear that you talked about earlier. And so if you have someone telling her it's just a fetus, well, that takes away, oh, well, it's not a baby, you know, and so then she's wrestling with this. And I think it made it more maybe easier to make that decision toward having an abortion. And so the It's a Baby came about to say fetus in Latin just means small person or small human. And so just as interesting to me that, you know, Planned Parenthood thought they could own that word and somehow turn it into, you know,
something right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that was, it was kind of a snarky way, if you will, of us poking at that and saying, you know, it's a baby, like the little girl that, you know, the very end, she goes, it's a baby, like, you know, mom, dad, you're being stupid. And so I think it was just a way to get people's attention of being really, really aware of what these young women are facing and how they're being bombarded with a message from the culture that says it's not a big deal to have an abortion.
So one more question before we take a break. Robin, how do you see media culture and storytelling shaping the hearts and minds in the pro-life conversations?
We have to step in and start telling those conversations because right now, you know, culture tells that woman she's not smart enough to go to college and have a baby. She's not smart enough to have a career and have a baby. We have to combat that with, you are enough. And guess what? Here's why we know you're enough. And it's because of who you are in Christ. But then we also have to talk to her about all the support that she does have that she maybe doesn't even realize she has access to. And so we start telling those stories of, you know, here's this university who did a scholarship for, you know, this many women, or here's a Christian business, you know, who has remote assignments for mom and dad, you know, so there is immediate, you know, salaries coming in, and there's, you know, maybe even medical care, because I know sometimes when you start a job, you immediately get signed up for health care. What a great way that we can, I think, turn the tide more to a life conversation by calling out those who are standing up for the most vulnerable. And that includes that mom and that dad in the unexpected pregnancy, not just that baby.
Absolutely. I think it's time for us to change the narrative and start speaking more pro-life versus what we hear every day in media is pro-death.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you guys are doing a phenomenal job helping us do that.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. And it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. Assure Women's Center is a nationally recognized pro-life pregnancy center based in Omaha, Nebraska. Did you know that you can connect with Life Matters online? You can find all of our previous episodes to review for yourself or share with the people in your life by visiting firststeptolife.com/Life Matters or on Facebook at First Step to Life Omaha. Sharing our episodes and encouraging us with a positive comment is a completely free way that you can help us get the pro-life message out to more people.
Welcome back to Life Matters. Today, we're continuing our two-part conversation with Robin Chambers. So, Robin, when you meet with pregnancy center staff or visit communities, what stories have moved you the most?
I think hearing from executive directors who say, it's not just the grant from Focus, it's not just the machine or the nurse's training. Yeah. It's the fact that we come on site, you know, that we do an actual in-person site visit. Mm-hmm. And not, you know, we don't come in, as you know, we don't come in to point fingers and say, oh, this is wrong or that's wrong or that's wrong. And we joke and say, and your baby's ugly. We don't say things like that. But it is really the heart of all of our site reps to go in and say, how can we serve you?
Yeah.
We hear stories, you know, of directors who feel like they don't have a lot of support, or they're wearing, and you know this, they're wearing multiple hats and they're tired and, you know, they're fundraising and then there's, you know, they're overseeing, you know, and it's like, we just need staff. And so being able to listen to them say, what a breath of fresh air and kind of a balm to them, you know, for a site rep from Focus on the Family to come in and say, how can I serve you? And it's, you know, we've heard directors, you know, directors who are new in the role, directors who've been in the role for a long time and kind of everything in between say, I felt so supported and you told me I was doing a great job. No one's told me that, or you told me great ways to, you know, maybe increase how we reach more women, or even great ways of how I serve my staff, because the clients that are coming in are harder. They're just harder to reach sometimes. And what a burden that is on your heart to think, gosh, should I say all the right things? And to remember, that's the Holy Spirit's work. That's the Holy Spirit's job, you know? And just hearing directors say, I felt so supported and know that Focus is going to be here long-term. We still get phone calls from directors who is like, I just need prayer. Can you just pray with me? Yeah. What a blessing and a privilege that is for my staff to be on the phone and go, absolutely. Tell me what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not that we feel like we can fix everything, but it's that we can go before the throne and lift that person up to them. And so that is so inspiring when we hear that and we know that we're making a difference in the director's lives, so that they can continue doing the work that God's called them to do.
Absolutely. I think back to when we had our site visit and the support, Carrie actually did our site visit. And just, you know, my staff was a little nervous when, you know, I told them, hey, someone's going to come in and, you know, kind of look at us for 2 days. And they were a little nervous. But I think when Carrie left, there was just this, oh, someone sees us, you know, someone understands. And for me personally, it was just great to have, like you said, just someone to say, you're doing a great job. And then tell my board, you know, how the things that they saw. And sometimes the board doesn't necessarily see everything.
Right.
And then I will say on the flip side of that, as being a site rep, it's a joy to me to be able to work with those executive directors and encourage them and then brag on them to their boards. And so I just really enjoy supporting a fellow executive director or CEO.
Yes. Yes.
I really enjoy it. Robin, what gives you hope when you feel the weight of the work that you do?
What a great question. And Tony, you know, the journey that I've been on and just some personal health challenges. And it's when a director calls and says, we just had an abortion pill client choose life, chose to do the abortion pill reversal, and baby's alive.
Yes.
You know, or we had it literally last week, we had a director call and she said, we went through the adoption training that Focus on the Family did, and we just had our third mama make an adoption plan, and they're going through this pregnancy, and they're so supported by the adoption agency that you connected her with, knowing that at the other end, there's a woman being served.
Yeah.
That gives me hope to come in here every single day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. It's, you know, some days are hard,
mm-hmm.
but like you said, when you see the outcomes, we have someone that comes in and says, you know, we thought that they aborted and they bring their baby by, you know, what joy that is. It's
yes.
just, and you don't do it for the kudos, but,
right.
you know, when you see someone come in and you know you've made a difference, it just lifts your heart and say, okay, it's for good, you know,
yes.
the work we're
yes.
doing, it's good. You obviously not just life advocacy, but also the Wait No More, which focuses on foster care and adoption. What's the goal of this program?
Really is to raise awareness. And so when we first started the Wait No More program, and when the reason we say Wait No More is we want kids waiting no more for a forever family. And we started that program about 12 years ago. And at that time, there were over 400,000 children in out-of-home care and over 100,000 that were considered legal orphans in the United States. And we started working with churches to go into a community and talk about the children in that community. Because Tony, when you talk about those big national numbers or those, you know, federal numbers, really, it's overwhelming. You're just like, how can me, one person, how can I really have any kind of impact into that? And so we felt like if we would go into a specific community and say the children in your community, 2,000, 2,500 maybe, that felt doable. Like you look at a church and say, we're not asking you to adopt 400,000 children.
Right.
We're asking you to be involved in the lives of the children in your community. And that includes the foster families,
mm-hmm.
making churches aware that right in their own congregations,
yes.
there are families fostering. And maybe the pastor doesn't even know that. And so really it was, our goal was to raise awareness of what's going on in a specific community. And then methodically, you know, going through what we felt like were high concentrations of children in out-of-home care. And the church is the answer, absolutely the answer. But you're talking to a pastor who maybe doesn't understand, well, I don't know how to get involved. We hear this all the time. That's a government program. That's,
yeah.
And I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But the government is saying, we need foster families. We need families who are adopting from foster care. So that really is the goal. And COVID changed all that. You know, no one was having events. No one was doing that. And so I challenged the team and said, is your message still relevant? And I laugh and I say, Dr. Ford, who works with me, you know, she always does this when she gets irritated at me, you know. And she's like, yes, it is. And I said, I know it is, but how do we still have that conversation when we can't go into a church? And it became the digital world, you know, and so got her in the studio and had her share the same story. And Sharon has 30 years of experience at the state level in Colorado, and we focused, stole her from the state, but got her in the studio and just started continuing to have that conversation. And then from that, I kind of challenged the team again, and you know this, but I don't sleep a lot. So I get up in the middle of the night and I dream and I, you know, I love big visions. And I said, the one thing that we used to do at events was we would have a suitcase there with a teddy bear and a Bible to say, children are removed from the home often with one change of clothing, a toy in a garbage bag. Can we not do better? Let's get them a brand new suitcase with a brand new teddy bear and a Bible. And it kind of restores their dignity. And we would do one or two of these at the events. You know, someone would sponsor. And I'm like, no, we're going to do more of that. And so we've used that suitcase program to really introduce churches on how to be a foster-friendly church. And it's a super easy way for churches to do a packing party. And then we connect the church with the child placement agency in their community to get those bags into the hands of kiddos who are in out-of-home care. And so our big goal, and again, the team goes, would you please sleep? I'm challenging them, and I would love to do 360,000 plus suitcases over the next 10 years.
Wow.
I'm going to launch that in October. And so our fiscal year at 26 will be a slow launch into that and start doing, you know, 30,000 suitcases a year, 36,000 a year, because we want kiddos to feel like they're not being thrown out with the trash. And so it's just one way of restoring dignity to what we know are the least of these and the most vulnerable among us.
Yeah. You know, that's a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal.
Yes.
But it's so doable in the body of Christ. It can be that it can be done. Wow. What do you think are some common barriers the family faces, the families face when considering foster care or adoption? And how do you help overcome those obstacles?
One of the biggest challenges this year has been a lot of legislation trying to force foster families to accept or even affirm a child that's coming in with gender confusion. And so maybe they have a different pronoun or, you know, they're identifying it, you know, a different way. And so it was literally keeping families from kind of stepping in to be a foster family. Because, you know, as a Christ followers, we're not going to accept that. We're not going to affirm that. And what we feel like is that confusion is straight from, you know, it's not biblical. Can we talk about the confusion? Can we still serve that child without compromising what we know is the truth?
Yeah.
And so that really has become a challenge for foster families. But God is at work. Well, I had a conversation with the director of the Faith and Family for the First Lady's office, and we talked about that. What are some pain points? And we said, you're making it really difficult for families to become foster families if that's the legislation that you're forcing on those families. And so, you know, wanting to kind of back off from that and make it, you know, illegal for you to not do that. So we feel like we have a little bit of headway there. The other is, honestly, it's just the awareness of what's going on in a specific community. And we're one voice, you know, calling attention to, you know, the kiddos that are in that community. But the biggest gap, Tony, is the church. And it is the church being able to provide respite care. You know, maybe God's not calling you to adopt or even to foster.
Yeah.
But you have skills and you have gifts and maybe God's blessed you financially and you can support that family. Sometimes what it takes is a family saying, I'll bring you dinner every Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Or you know what? I'm going to Sam's this weekend or I'm going to Costco this weekend. Give me your shopping list. And you know what? Let me bless you. Yeah. It really is that simple. And that's the church. That is the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. I was recently in Cleveland and that we had this opportunity to meet this woman who saw this huge need. And her church is helping do this Cleveland foster care closet. And what they do is they hear about an emergency placement. You might have a family who calls and says, well, we're getting a newborn and we don't even have a crib. I don't have a car seat. And the churches in that community bring donations. We got to see donations being dropped off. We got to see bags going out. And so we did 2,000 suitcases for that closet with our teddy bear and our Bible. But that organization then fills those suitcases with 2 weeks worth of clothes, diapers, formula, whatever mom and daddy need.
Yeah.
And it's just that way, that organization's and that community's way of saying, hey, we see you. We see that you're caring for those children and how can we support you? We got to watch a mama who's worked for one full year to reunify with her five children. And she did. She did the work and has all five of her babies back in her home. And we got to do a suitcase and all five of those kiddos got to pick out what they wanted. And it was just a blessing. That's the body of Christ doing what God's calling us to do.
Absolutely. And once again, I think people don't always realize what you guys are doing. Thank you for what you do, even in that space with foster children. So thank you. And Robin, as Vice President Advocacy for Children, how do you balance the multiple priorities of preborn life, foster care, and adoption under one umbrella? You told us that you don't sleep. How do you balance all of that, you know, in life?
Honestly, it's the team. And, you know, Tony, you've met several of the team.
Yeah.
I know the call. This is not a job for any. I have 14 staff. So we're a small team. We do a lot of work with 14 of us. I have a phenomenal husband who supports everything that I do. But spending time with the Lord every single day to say, give me manna for today. Mm-hmm. Give me provision for today. Yeah. You know, because it's really easy to go big, 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 and then forget today. God's yeah. calling me to do this. And so just remembering that and remembering that I'm not supposed to do all things. And it's not my words that changes things. That's the Holy Spirit that changes hearts. And just to remember today, just give me manna for today.
Robin, your insights today have been so encouraging. Can you share with someone listening who wants to get involved in the Life Movement? What's the best way to take the next step?
Oh, I am going to put a shameless plug in for you, Tony, Pregnancy Centers. Someone in your community listening to this, have them reach out to you. Come take a tour, ask questions. That is the best way to find out what God's calling you to say yes to. And then, of course, coming to Focus on the Family's website, we have so much information. And then if there's someone listening to this that's outside of where maybe your pregnancy center is, go to Option Line. That is one of the best ways to find a pregnancy center in your community. And again, go take a tour, ask questions, meet the staff, and honestly, be open about what God's calling you to say yes to at that pregnancy center.
Oh, Robin, thank you so much for that shameless plug.
You're welcome.
Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. There you can learn about the many services we provide, including how we come alongside abortion-minded mothers and empower women to choose life for her and her baby, as well as find our most current broadcasts and all of our past episodes. You can also find information on our website about how you can partner with us in the life-saving work of Assure. Again, thank you so much for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.